North Rock Podcast.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Are we thankful today? Are we good? Because that's the message we're going to be talking about today. So I'm glad that you're already there. And all I have to do is stand up here, say a couple of things, and we'll all kind of go that direction, right? Hey, actually, I'd like to just take a moment and just say I'm thankful for Debbie and her heart and passion. Like, if we get her excited about how God's reaching into our community, we'd really be doing something, wouldn't we? So I wanted to say thank you for that. I want to thank you for all the generosity that you guys have already shown in helping to support Operation Christmas Child and some of the families in the area. I just love that our church is keeping it real, right? That we're not just espousing great ideas from the pulpit and then not doing them, right? We want to be missional. We want to be alive and living out a thankful testimony. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today is we're talking about this idea of being thankful and living out of a position of an attitude of gratitude, right? And in order to do so, we have to realize that it's not the circumstances of our lives that gives us our gratitude, but rather the giver of all things gives us that position of gratitude, right? So let me just frame it this way. How many of you guys know somebody that's like super thankful all the time? Like no matter what's going on in their life, like they're just blessed and thankful and always have this huge smile on their face. And I'm like looking at them going, are you not paying attention to the world? Like there's stuff happening. There's hard things. Right? You guys know somebody like that?
April.
I'll get a couple. Okay, so let's not name names, y'all, even though it's a good thing to be known for, right? Well, there's different kinds of people in the world. So there's that person that a few people know. Like, there's very few of those, right? But let me ask you this question then. Maybe you know somebody that could be more thankful in your life, right? Like, don't look at anybody right now. Don't look at your spouse. Or don't look at your kids. Like, right? It's something that we can all grow in, right? And I can tell you as the pastor of this church that that's an area of discipleship that God is still working in me deeply. Like, I need a lot of practice of being thankful, y'all. For the reality is, I'm just an emotional kind of base, you know, standing here before you as a pastor. Like, my good days are like your, meh, that's okay days, right? Like when I'm up emotionally, it's kind of like your guys' middle ground usually, right? And so that's part of what we're going to talk about today. How is it that despite any negative circumstances that we run into in the world, that we can live a thankful testimony? Is that something that's important, folks? I think so. Let's pray and we'll dive into the scriptures today. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your anointing and power in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have gone before us, so that we can live a testimony of thankfulness, so that we can remember and keep at the frontal part of our eyes the goodness and the good news of your gospel. Thank you, Lord. Help us to grow in that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we're going to jump right in today, looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Okay, and it's a charge that's given to the church there. And it simply says this. It says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always be thankful. And you know, I studied that out, y'all. I looked at it. Like I looked at what the actual meaning is in that. It means always be thankful. Isn't that helpful, right? And that's what pastors have to do. Like, we get to study it really deep to find out it means always be thankful. Like, there's no wiggle room, y'all. Like, there's no wiggle room. Like, I try to find this something, it's not there. Okay, so it says, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Now, I know that that passage probably isn't a surprise to those that are here today because we've all come here to get a little bit more encouragement and joy and peace. Amen. I mean, that's why we're here. That's why we're not like the rest of the community right now that's watching the Bronco game that started just a few minutes ago, right? All right, you can get up. If you really feel like they need to leave, you can leave. Okay, but please don't leave. Because I'm thankful today. I'm thankful today that people actually show up during an 11 o'clock Broncos game at church. Okay? So the reality is when we live this type of a life, when we recognize and remember that Christ has empowered us to live thankful lives no matter what the season we're in is, right? Whether it's blessed and good and everything's going great, or it's hard and challenging and things are difficult, right? Then when we live that way, we actually live out this idea in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. We're a community whose understanding and perspective of who God is shines above anything that we'd experience in this world, right? Well, in order to do that, there's two things that need to happen. One, we have to keep the posture of our hearts submitted to God's word and his work in our lives. Amen? That's how you get that perspective, is that we stay in that posture, that we remind ourselves that no matter what's happening around us, that God is sovereign, he's on the throne, and he is working daily in our lives. Okay, and then the second thing that we have to keep in mind is that we have to keep both the posture and the perspective is all based on how we view ourselves in proximity to God. Does that make sense? Let me say it this way. Sometimes it's easy for us to go, yes and amen, Jesus has saved my soul, right? Without acknowledging that the reality is that he is discipling our emotions and everything else that's a part of our life. That's all connected into one piece, that we are one being saved by God and not, you know, compartmentalized of, you know, I got the salvation thing down, but yeah, my emotions, those, they need deliverance, right? Like, you ever met one of those? So we're talking about thankfulness. You ever met one of those Christians, right? They can quote the scriptures till the cows come home. But a minute there's conflict, or a minute there's a challenge, or a minute that something bad happens in their life, they're just like, oh, I'm so sad all the time, right? Like, what kind of witness is that, right? It's not a great one, is it? And so that's part of why we talk about this, because I gotta keep it real with you, right? That not everything is going to go your way in this world. Not everything is. So we keep it real, saying that this is the standard of God's work in our lives. This is his commitment. This is him living through us. And it's going to be through a lot of trials and tribulations and challenges in this world. And the sooner that we figure that out, the better off we are, right? Anybody ever feel that way where it's like, oh man, I had a great week with God. My devotions were cranking. We had an awesome, things good. I'm all filled up. And then, you know, Walmart happened this week. Right? And it's like, oh my gosh, what the heck was that? And how do we process it? And how is God moving and working in this whole situation? Well, the reality is he is at work in it. He is faithful, and he is able to work through his people in the midst of even such tragedies as what we experienced this week on Wednesday, right? Truth of the matter is that the New Testament describes a thankful people, and that a person's level of thankfulness is usually tied to their perspective and understanding of God's hope and his joy in their lives, right? How many of you guys today could say, I could use a refreshing of joy in the Holy Spirit today? I could use a refreshing of the hope of the gospel in my life, right? That's the good news about it. It's like the promise that keeps on promising. It's the promise that keeps on going. It's not a one time I made this decision in 72 and now I'm just waiting until Jesus returns. Right? That's not how it works. In fact, it was reinforced so many times in the New Testament. 190 times, guys, you hear this word hope. Hey, keep your hope in Christ Jesus alone. Hey, keep hope, keep hope, keep hope, keep hope. And 334 times you read about joy, right? That there's a joy that emanates when we're walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with one another. Amen? That's part of practicing, cultivating that posture of thankfulness. So part of what I'm trying to get at this morning is to say, this isn't just a self-help message to say, be more positive and life will be nicer. Think happy thoughts and you'll be more happy. Right? It's not a Christian cliche. This is the power of the living God living through his people to bring hope and joy into situations that have despair and pain and struggle all around us, right? That when we really see what we just read as a testimony of our lives, and we lean into that, that we experience not just more thankfulness, but we see the joy of the Lord radiate around us, right? So, in summation, don't worry, be happy. Bobby McFerrin, you guys remember that one, right? We can close our service. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. No, I'm just kidding. We're not done. We're just starting, okay? But it's so much more than that. And why is it important when we talk about these things? Why is it that we're talking about joyfulness and thankfulness in our lives? It's because a lot of people that we run into on a daily basis are struggling to find hope in this world right now. Like a lot of them and a lot of us. Do you guys know that the National Alliance on Mental Illness says that right now there's 1 in 9 people that you run into, and some have reported as high as 1 in 5 that are currently using some form of antidepressant medications. You know, just 3 short decades ago, 30 years ago, it was like less than 1 in 50. So just let that settle in for a minute, right? It's a prevalent reality of the culture that we have. And it doesn't make sense on paper because we know that we live in a nation that is rich by all standards of the world, right? That we have all the stuff that everybody else is saying, man, if I could just have some of that stuff, I'd be okay. And yet we're seeing this rise, this spike of people that are struggling with issues like depression. And it's not a secret situation or a secret sin, right? That this is a reality that most people are working through. Do you know that there's over 61.5 million people that have reported some form of mental illness in a given year? 14.8 million live with major depression issues in their lives. And that 70% of the juveniles that are in our detention systems have at least one mental illness. Finally, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. ages 15 to 24. So 15 to 24, the time in life when you're supposed to be, you know, the most happy, right? The time in life where there's the most hope and good outlook on life because you haven't had to experience a lot of it, right? Is the time that people are choosing to take their own lives through suicide. And so, you know, it might feel like, well, Pastor Chad, you jumped track. We were talking about an attitude of thankfulness, and now you're talking about the realities of sometimes mental health challenges, right? Can I tell you it's really hard to divide those lines, that our emotions and our mental states and our abilities to navigate some of the challenges in this world are all kind of linked together, right? So why do we talk about this? 1, because we experience things like Walmart. 2, because it hits very close to home for me. I've had 2 different suicides that we've dealt with in the last 3 years that are were a part of our congregation in some form or shape. My own father, most people say, committed suicide when I was 10 months old. And they weren't ever able to determine for sure if that's what happened, but that's what happened, right? My mother is bipolar. And has been on a major challenge over the last four decades. So why do we talk about these things? We talk about them because they affect our real life, okay? And earlier when I said, you know, my good days are your days, it's true. Like my best days aren't Mr. Happy Pants all the time. And in fact, in all honesty, I've had at least one of my primary doctors want to prescribe some form of antidepressants in my life. So I say that with you just to, one, say just because you're a pastor doesn't mean life doesn't happen to you, right? The things you experience are the things that I experience as well. And it's also not to say that because I haven't at this time chosen to take them up on using those antidepressant medications doesn't mean that if you do that that's not okay as well. Okay, so I just want to be clear on that the reality is that things in this world have a way of stacking up on us, and even when we want to be thankful, even though we want to show a witness of God's good work in our lives, we can all be weighed down a little bit. Amen? Am I talking to anybody today? Anybody else in the same boat that I'm in, right? So here's the antithesis of that. Here's the other side of that coin, though, right? That the truth of the matter is, though, even though that's occurring, even though we're trying to figure out how do I live out the redeemed part of God's life over all of my life in a way that's real, in a way that's consistent, and in a way that impacts other people, because that's what we're here for, right? This is a witness that we're talking about. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. It says, "For God has not given you a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline." New King James says it this way, and this is my favorite way that this verse is interpreted. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Right? How many guys would like to claim that one today, right? That I can tell you, because I was here, I was leaving the practice field last Wednesday when the whole thing went down over at Walmart. And I get a call from my lovely wife, who had just dropped off our oldest daughter here at the church, a half a block away from where this was all happening. And you could just see the first responders coming from every direction on what was happening with that shooting Walmart. And this is the verse that popped into my heart, because I remembered that there was a lot of fear that was occurring at that moment, right? Can I just tell you, it's natural to feel fear, but it's supernatural to live above the fear that we're feeling. Does that make sense? It's to remember that this is Jesus living through us. And I can tell you, I got here on the scene. We had to sneak in through Washington. I came because we had our youth ministry going on. We wanted to make sure that the kids were safe. And we already had people from our congregation that are plainclothes officers that sit amongst us who had already shown up to help protect our kids. It's like, I mean, that's courage, right? That's something that's above the realities of the situation that we're facing in that moment. And we stayed here, and the kids did an amazing job continuing to worship Jesus in the midst of a lot of fear and emotions and being scared, right? Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but rather of power and love and of self-discipline. In other words, I use that illustration for no other reason to say that in the midst of despair and chaos and something that's just as terrible as you can think of, that God is in the midst of it, and he's willing to work through us as we keep our eyes on him in the midst of our trouble and our strain and our challenge, right? Truth of the matter is, this struggle is the biggest struggle in your pastor's heart. It's staying positive. It's staying hopeful. It's staying less realist and more idealist, is the way to think about it, right? And the way that I do that, I'm going to share a little bit with you today. Is that all right? Can we talk about this stuff today? Because I don't want to just be the trite pastor that shows up and says, "It's Thanksgiving, so let's be thankful. Amen. Go home now." Right? Matthew 12:21 says this, "And his name will be the hope of the world." That's who we are, y'all. His name will be the hope of the world. How will people find hope in the midst of despair and struggle and chaos and messes? Because there will be people who will bear his image and live out that hope in their lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17 says it this way. It says, "Always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances," right? Like, that's just crazy talk, isn't it? Like, because I've got some circumstances right now that I'm not sure I want to be thankful for, right? And that's part of what we're going to talk about. Part of the maturation process, part of the discipling factor of Jesus in our lives, is that we recognize that in our hardest seasons, Jesus grows us the most, y'all. It's usually in the seasons where things are going well and we're just sitting back in our recliners and watching our big TVs, like that we're not growing much, right? But it says, "Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for those of you who belong to Christ Jesus." That's his will. It's his will that we would grow in those seasons, that we would not just survive, but we would thrive in the circumstances that we run into in this world. Hebrews 12:28 says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable." Turn to somebody today and say, "Unshakable." Now, you got to say it with attitude, like, "Unshakable." That's it, Rachel. You show them how to do it, girl. You say, you got to get the head. Mm-hmm. You got that, right? "Let us, since we receive this kingdom that's unshakable," what's that mean? The circumstances cannot come against it. That it can't be broken, that it can't be broken down, right? We're receiving this kingdom that's unshakable. "Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Truth of the matter is, we walk around in a world with many, 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 many of the people that we come in contact on a daily basis who are addicted to medications and alcohol and other forms of mind-numbing options for the heavy-hearted issues that we go through. And our reality is that Jesus in us is the antidote to all that ails us, right? And so here's the thing that I'd say, that if you are on this side where it's always peachy keen, rose-colored glasses, everything's hunky-dory, right? Sometimes it's good to lean into somebody's life that might be struggling and offer some of the hope that you have, right? And then if you're more on this side that I just described that is really my kind of baseline, man, there's a lot of hard stuff going on. That I need to lean more into God's promises of what he's already said about who we are in the kingdom that is unshakable in our lives, right? And it really does work that way. The more you carry in life and leadership and in life, the more stress you carry, the more we have to depend upon the Holy Spirit's meeting our needs day in and day out, moment by moment, and not by great big sweeping deposits, okay? Is that fair to say? Like maybe your experience is different than mine, but most of the time when God shows up in my life, there's a crisis going on, and it's just enough to get us through that one so that I keep coming back to him, right? Because the reality is we all have the human nature. It's like, God, if you just give me $1 million, we'd take care of stuff. Right? Yeah, y'all prayed that prayer, haven't you? Oh, no, we know somebody who prayed that prayer, though, right? Man, if I just had a dollar for every time somebody said, Pastor, when I win that lottery, y'all are going to be okay. We'd be doing good, right? Y'all, we've won the lottery. Jesus has given us his kingdom. And he is the one who is victorious in our lives, no matter what we're experiencing at any given moment. But if the whole spiritual part isn't your thing and you're just saying, why should I be thankful today? Why is there a reason to be thankful? Chad, you don't know the things that I've gone through. You don't know the challenges that I have. And I have to admit, no, I don't. But I've also know that I've known a lot of people that have gone through a lot of stuff. And I've seen Jesus do a lot of great things, both in them and in my testimony, my story, right? But a Harvard Medical Journal just this last month put out an article that indicated that just this one idea of being more thankful in our lives, to actually expressing gratitude, helps us feel more positive emotions and relish good experience better, improve our health, deal with adversity, and build strong relationships. How many would like some more of those things, right? Like that's part of it. That has to be our focus in the midst of the challenge. But we can also be honest with one another and say that wouldn't it just be easier if God would just make things easier, right? I mean, we can be honest and say, if things weren't so hard, maybe I'd be more thankful, right? Maybe I'd show more gratitude. Maybe I'd do this or do that or the other. And then I look into the scriptures and I go, no one in the history of society has ever had that, you guys. Like, I go back to the scriptures, I hear people saying things like, oh, you know, if there's a struggle there, then, you know, God's not happy or you're in sin or, you know, all the weird stuff that people say sometimes with churchianity. It's not in the Bible. Like Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says this, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. And with God, because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. And because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. Wow, there's something to be thankful for, right? An undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Not in the future, now. Sharing in that glory, right? Verse 3 says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. There's that weird talk again, right? Like, rejoice when I run into problems and trials? I studied it out, y'all. That's what it means. That's what it means. For we know that they help us with endurance. Again, working our way through the problems and trials, seeing God show up victorious in our lives is how we get endurance for the long run. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our hope and our, or excuse me, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Just think about that one thought for a minute, right? We spent a lot of time in churches over the last couple of decades getting people to believe that when you say yes to Jesus, everything is complete in your life. Everything is taken care of. Yes and amen, right? And then if we take that perspective and we put that on a shelf and then we go out into life and we see some of the things that happen in life affect us in ways that doesn't reinforce that basic premise or idea, we can come into a place of despair or questioning the hope and faith of what God's promises is to us. Does that make sense? Can I just tell you that both can be true? That you can struggle and God can still be true to his word? That there can be hard things and God is still victorious over our lives? That we can have our salvation and still be finding out how to walk in it day in and day out? Is that fair? Sometimes we try to oversimplify things too much to get into a one-hour service for people, and we give them these little, you know, Pez candies of scripture. It was just Halloween, right? Happy church! You get a Pez and you get a Pez. No, go on, right? But just think about that. It's the endurance that we get from running into problems and trials and seeing God deliver us through that that gives us endurance, that develops strength of character, and that character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. In other words, it's the reminder of what has been true since Jesus came to this earth, that he is with you in the struggle, that he is able to overcome, that he is willing to walk through it with you. Is that good today? Is that helpful? Good. Because if I'm not encouraging anybody else, I'm definitely encouraging myself today. So thank you for showing up while I preach to myself. Okay? Oh, man, where are we? All right. That endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And it's this hope, there's that hope, that will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us his Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So, according to the scriptures, storms happen. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. Right? Y'all thought I was going to trip. I didn't. Stuff happens. No one is exempt. Like, you can't worship Jesus enough to, like, get the free pass card, right? Like, oh, the pastor doesn't have to struggle because he's really close to God. Can I just tell you, the more you walk with God, the more you try to get involved with God's work in this world, the more challenges come your way? Huh? You guys experience that, right? When you give your life to Jesus, all of a sudden everything starts going berserko, right? Or you decide, I'm going to serve, or I'm going to start to give, or I'm going to start to do something that increases my faith and trust in God in the day-to-day of today, and stuff breaks loose. And if I'm completely honest with you, I'm not heroic. Like I'd like to avoid stuff too. Like, my human nature, just like yours, wants to avoid struggles and challenges and storms and so on, right? But when I submit in that posture of thankfulness for everything that's going on in my life, not just the good things that are going on in my life, I can live a testimony of thankfulness. I can see Jesus show up and give me that attitude of gratitude in the midst of something that we shouldn't normally, in our own strength, think is a good thing in our life, right? John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. This is Jesus speaking, that you may have peace in me. He says, here on this earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Get that? They live together. Struggles, challenges, trials, sorrows, and Jesus has overcome all of them. Amen? God, come on, somebody. Like, we've already said this once, but where do we get the idea that we should never have to struggle if we've said yes to Jesus? Like, where does that idea even come from? It's not biblical, I'm just telling you, okay? So here's three quick things, three ways that help me when I find myself kind of getting down to the blues, when I've lost my rose-colored glasses, when I'm not seeing everything coming up as sunshine and daisies and all the good stuff, right? First one that helps me, I hope it helps you, is this, that a living testimony of thanks is built over time and testing. We just talked a lot about that. I don't think I need to say much more about it, okay? But 1 Peter 1:6 says, so be truly glad that there is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Isn't that good? That even when he says there's many trials, he also says in the same breath, for a little while. In other words, it's measured. It's other words, God knows you're in it. In other words, God says that my goodness and my mercy and my grace and my love will far exceed anything that you struggle with here in this world. So whether we're the people that struggle for 40 days, like we saw that model in the scripture, right? 40 days. Or we're the people that walk around the wilderness for 40 years, right? Or we live to be the ripe old age of 400 years old. God, anybody thankful? I'm thankful today that I don't live to be 400, right? Because I'm 44 and I got some parts that need worked on, right? Like 400, Kevin, we'd be a mess, man. We'd be in a bad way, right? A living testimony of thanks is built over time and testing. That we get that endurance by continuing to press through, trusting Jesus, even though there's some hard things going on. And that testing is necessary for testimony, right? Testing is necessary for our testimony. There's no other way to get a good testimony. And can I just take a moment here and step off of this train of thought on my little soapbox about testimonies in church? Can I do that today? Like, this is just opinion. This isn't gospel. This is just your pastor and the way I think and roll, right? One is that sometimes when we do testimonies in church, we think that it has to be 3.5 hours long. That you have to know everything from where I was born to, you know, three different generations before me about my life, right? Like, you guys ever been in, you're looking at me like you haven't heard a testimony recently, right? Like a testimony where they talk forever about all these realities of their life, right? And that's not to say that those aren't important things to the people that are giving their testimony. But the second thing that usually happens in church testimonies, it's preached to the wrong audience. It's talking to the sanctified, the people that are already saved, when the whole idea of God giving us a testimony is that we would share it with those that don't know him yet, instead of just encouraging one another to encourage each other again, right? Am I being too real today? Sorry. The other thing when it comes to this idea of giving your testimony is that it was never intended to be like, let's paint the picture and the description of just how terribly disgusting I was before I knew Jesus. Like, a lot of the testimonies I hear, it's like everything is about that. Like, if you have an hour, it's 55 minutes of, and then I did this, and then that, and then, like, you just get this ominous thing, like, oh my gosh. And then they close with, and Jesus showed up, amen. And you go, no, I want to hear how Jesus is faithful now. Like, show me how he's showing up for you today, not just 1973, right? Because the truth of the matter is, he saved all of us from something, didn't he? He saved us all out of the, you know, as David said, the miry clay is what he built us out of, but out of the mess, we'll just say mess, because I can't find my thought right now. Half of y'all know what I'm saying, so I don't even need to say it, right? But he rescued us from that, and he set us upon what? Upon a solid ground. Like, he took us out of the muck and put us on solid ground, and he continues to show up in our lives. And so all I'm saying is that when you give your testimony, don't be like, hey, do you have 3.5 hours? And I'll tell you my story. It's like, find the elevator talks, okay? We'll be far more effective in bearing testimony of what God does in our lives when we have bite-sized portions ready to go. We're praying and believing that God's going to give us somebody that we can talk to about the joy and the hope that Jesus has for us in a two-minute conversation and not a 2.5 hour preaching story. Does that make sense? All right. Anyway, back on the train here. But really what we're talking about today is that the way that we keep a witness or give our testimony or bear testimony of what God's doing in our lives is that we praise him in the midst of our struggles. That we're honest enough to say, yes, this is hard, but we remember that God has a sovereign purpose in our suffering. The only way we can make right and heads and tails of what our testimony is and what God's up to in the midst of our struggles is to know that he's got sovereign purpose in it, that he's doing something in it, right? 1 Peter 1:7 says it this way. These trials will show your faith is genuine. Wow, it's the trials that show our faith. That's what's tested against, right? It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many what? All right, just making sure somebody's looking up there. Good job, AJ. Way to be on cue. It'll bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day that Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Okay, so that's the first thing. Remember, your testimony is built through times of testing and time itself. Second thing, a living testimony of faith reveals where our trust is, right? I made that point earlier. It's easy to say, oh, I love Jesus when everything's going great. But when things are hard, can we still say, I love Jesus? Because Jesus loves me, right? James 1, 3 through 5, verse 12 says it this way. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask a generous God and he will give it to you. He will not need to rebuke you for asking. And verse 12 says this. He says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing after temptation. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that is promised, that God has promised to those who love him. Okay? So, all that to say, don't bear witness. Don't share your testimony as a museum of all the artifacts of what was once true of your life. Be real enough to say, hey, God's working a process of salvation in my life, and that daily he shows up on my behalf the same way he did the first day I accepted him. Does that make sense? That's all I was trying to say with my little soapbox moment, okay? He's an everyday active witness in our lives. 1 Peter 3:15, if you're still taking notes, says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if somebody asks about the hope you have as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Isn't that what we just talked about, right? If someone asks for your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. What does that mean? That means that they see hope in you in the midst of some things that we're all going through, right? You guys know that there's three kinds of witnesses when you go to trial? There's three different types of witnessing that can happen, right? The first is hearsay. Right? So apply that to church life. Hearsay. Well, this guy I know knows this girl that said this about Jesus. Right? That's one way of bearing testimony. That's one way of saying it. That's one way of saying, well, I want to introduce you to somebody. They radically got saved back in 85. When if you're telling me, I want to know your story, right? I want to know, hey, what's God doing in your life, right? But it is one level. It's one level. It's hearsay. Second one is conjecture, right? It's like, they said this, I read that, this is what I think. So the conjecture is that this has actually happened or it took place. Okay, the third type of witness that we see in a court of law is an eyewitness, right? How many of y'all want to have an eyewitness account of Jesus in your life? It's in the trials. It's in the struggles. It's in the challenges. That's where you see first person Jesus show up day in and day out, okay? So just remember, that's normal. We all go through it. It's normal. Okay, the third thing. The last thing I'm going to do is I ask the worship team to come forward. We already did the ushers. Worship team come forward. Is that our triumph in the trial is just a matter of time. Keep being thankful. The triumph in your trial, somebody look at me right now. I know this is talking to you. Look at me. I want everybody's eyes. The triumph in your trial is just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. That's all it is. It's a matter of time. Please keep being thankful. Keep praising God. Keep trusting God in the midst of the struggle and the storms. Amen? The whole point to me saying that is that we have to decide as his followers if we're going to bear a witness of thankfulness in our lives, okay, is are we going to measure God's faithfulness by our material or temporary standards? Or are we going to measure his faithfulness to us based on the eternal and unshakable rewards that his word promises us? See, the purpose of the trial is that we would come away with a triumph. that we would come away knowing that God is still in this for me, that God is still at work in our daily lives, and that God is committed to seeing us victorious in life. How many of you believe that today, church? Like, because it's easy to just go, all right, Lord, I'll just be okay with it. Okay, right? But God is committed to it. Don't believe me, believe the word. I'm going to give you three promises. You ready? If you have your pencils, get them out. If you don't have them, you better have good memory. Okay, Psalm 21:5 says, your victory brings him great honor, and you have clothed him with splendor and majesty. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, no, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. That's something to be thankful for, church. And finally, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thank God that he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So I would like us to respond to the good news of God's work in our midst, in the midst of difficulty and challenge, by worshiping him one more time before we leave. Reminding ourselves that when we let our roots grow down into him, when we let our lives be built on him, that our faith grows strong and we will overflow with thankfulness. Amen? Let me pray and then we'll worship. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, we know that you are actively working a miracle on behalf of those who love you and who follow hard after you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we know that no matter what we encounter in this world, there's nothing that can separate us from the love that you have for us through Jesus Christ. Help us to live that way. Help us to be a thankful people and help us to worship you, keeping your word and your will as the number one thing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody testify, 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 right? Amen, amen. Hey, we close our services here in the same way all the time. But before we do so, I wanted to do just one exercise with you. Can we do that? I know we're running a few minutes over schedule today. But would you just take a moment? Would you just still yourself before the Lord? And would you remind yourself of one thing that we talked about today that you can be thankful for? And would you just, loud enough for your own voices to say it, say, Lord, thank you for this. Lord, thank you. Just loud enough for your own voice. And when you're doing that, what you're actually doing is operating in spiritual warfare. And some of the spirits that come against us to discourage us can be broken by bringing the word of God and offering thanksgiving, right? So Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you are victorious in us. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of the storm, you are faithful to deliver us. Lord, I pray for those that are here today. Lord, you would deliver us of any feelings that are contrary to what your word says about us. Lord, I pray for those that struggle with mental illness and the challenges that we navigate on a daily basis, including depression. Lord, we pray that you would be victorious in those areas in our lives, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those of us that self-medicate. Lord, that you would help us to put our eyes on you and trust you above any other thing in our lives, in Jesus' name, knowing that you are worthy of praise, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, I want you to invite you to pray this prayer as we dismiss, because it's the reminder that Jesus plus us is enough, right? So whether it's the first time you're praying this prayer or this is a prayer you've prayed with our community of faith for a long, long time now, I want you to pray it like it's your first. You ready? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Hey, if God did something in your life today, would you give him an applause? God, you are faithful and you are good and you are breaking through in our lives. Amen? Amen. Hey, so if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. Just hear your story, give you a gift that we call a yes packet. It's got a Bible and some tools to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. Otherwise, we'd love to pray with you for any need in your life. Have a great week. Thank you for being here at North Rock Church. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.